This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Industrial AI podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and I'm sitting in the office at the Fraunhofer IPA today. Thanks to Marco Huber for your hospitality. And my guest today is Jörn Steinbeck. Jörn, welcome to the podcast.
Robert, thanks for having me.
We already had an episode on your approach, OEE.AI, but this is now, I think, 3 years ago, and we need an update because a lot happened, Jörn. Please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners before we start.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much. So my name is Jörn Steinbeck, and I'm one of the co-founders of OEE.AI, and we are developing OEE.AI as a, let's call it, cutting-edge manufacturing analytics app designed to increase productivity for machine-based manufacturing companies. And the OEE in our name stands for overall equipment effectiveness.
For sure.
Okay, so you know.
Yeah, I know. How does it work? Explain us in two sentences, and then we go to the GenAI approach.
Okay, so we collect data from the machines, from ERP systems, from humans, and in a time series, and we analyze this in real time and identify productivity anomalies, provide dashboards, and so on, have push notifications, obviously. And yeah, this is where we consolidate all the data from the shop floor with the respective of productivity, so equipment productivity for the management and for the operator.
And you use a LSTM approach for that, right?
This is past. This is what we've talked about it 3 years ago.
Now XLSTM, or what do you do?
What we talk here now today is especially Llama, I think. So generative AI.
Yeah, that's the Gen AI approach, right? But you mentioned you're analyzing time series. What do you use for that? How do you do that?
Obviously, this is a mixture of statistics and machine learning.
Okay. And you wrote me a message a few weeks ago and you said, we are using, as you mentioned, Llama, and we are very happy and our Gen AI approach works quite well. And you can't understand why everybody has some problems with Gen AI approaches in the industrial sector. What do you do now, Jörn?
Let me start with kind of senior operations manager with this generative AI approach. So 24-hour, 7 days a week, global availability of data. And we call him or her Zaru. This is what we've given our AI the name. Zaru is a Japanese word for monkey, which is, again, our logo. So this is where the circle closes. And Zaru is an expert on manufacturing. So well-versatized in optimization methodologies, like lean manufacturing, for example, also. And he or she guides you to take immediate action on productivity losses or offering insights and directions on real time to operate your equipment on peak performance. And also, obviously, to help you to improve your equipment in terms of a continuous improvement process.
Mm-hmm. And is it an agent or is it an agentic approach or what is it?
Yeah, it's an agent, and the agent is accessing tools to guide you and to help you in your activities to improve.
What kind of tools? Your tools or the customer tools? Or what kind of tools?
Yeah, so first of all, we obviously need access to the data of the machine, so which is the time series database. And there we have a set of tools to access the respective APIs. And additionally, you can access knowledge that was provided by the customer or by the operator of the machines. For example, you can upload your changeover descriptions, so your work standards. And also, we have uploaded our own knowledge. So, as you might know, we have written a book, which is available from Springer, or you can buy it on Amazon. And this is, for example, also knowledge Zaru can access. And with all of this, you have a companion to improve your productivity.
And how did you train the monkey? Did you write a rec approach, or what is behind that?
Yeah, so REC is obviously required for all the static knowledge in terms of procedures and in terms of our book. So this is the REC approach. And then there's this function calling approach when we need to access flowing data.
Yeah. And how did you train these flowing data, because that's interesting, because we talk about Llama, it's a large language model, and most of the people think, oh, it's only language-based.
Yeah, actually, that's true. I'm not sure if I would call it training. So training, to me, is the word that is connected when OpenAI is training their model and generating their weights.
Yeah.
So for us, it's more fine-tuning of the model. For us, it's this dimension of work. So we don't have training runs based on our time series data.
But how did you do it? You mentioned the flowing data and the large language model.
Yeah, I mean, when you ask a question on the front end, then the AI agent is accessing the data and is building the respective structures to get the answer, and then we get it back in terms of language.
Mm-hmm. So is it a new user interface now for your tools, or is it more?
It's both, I would say. So from the user interface perspective, what we see is that this is a very low barrier entry to data. So you don't have to use the date picker and find the correct widget and stuff like this. So it's quick and easy access to the data. But on the other hand, it's also obviously more, because when you have the rest of the app, which is based on widgets, so when you need a graphic, a waterfall or whatever, that is obviously not connected with business administration knowledge, which comes, for example, from our book and other books, obviously, also, and the weights of the training, the trained model from Llama.
Mm-hmm. And how does the Llama perform for you? So you're using 7B model or more?
It's a 70 billion model. It's currently it's 3.1. So we have just migrated from 3.0 to 3.1. And we are using, we are utilizing the 70 billion parameter models. And it's performing fine. So I specifically try to be not specific with a model, so we can exchange these models. We can exchange them pretty quickly. The fine-tuning obviously needs to be adjusted regarding the respective model. And we have found that the Llama 70 billion model is currently the best performing model for our use case.
But why should a customer change the model?
Different reasons. I mean, when it's performing, it's fine. But I mean, you hear, for example, the discussion which models are available in the European Union and which are not. So maybe we are forced to change a model by legislative reasons, or somebody is making a bigger leap. So this is where we are agnostic regarding the model.
How do you integrate now your Gen AI approach in a brownfield environment, for example?
Yeah, that's quite interesting, because obviously we need machine data and we can either get them through a retrofit or directly from the PLC. And this is the vector, so the basic data stream is the unit vector of the machine. So in this minute, I have produced 12 units. In the next minute, I have produced 25 units and so on. This is what we call this unit vector. And this is the base data, and we can get it from a PLC. And this is why we can integrate it across a diverse range of PLCs. So we are not solely connectable to an S7, for example. We can use any PLCs.
Where does the employee write his prompts? In his office or at the machine? Where is the interface?
Technically, you have several options. So you also have an iPhone app and an Android app, but this is usually not the environment operations employees have access to. So this is why the real entry is on our web interface. And this is, again, distributed between the managerial perspective, which is usually a browser, And the rest of the employees, so the operators, they are having dedicated tablets, so HMIs, on their workplace. And this is where they also have the chat window available.
Do you want to expand the agentic approach? Because everybody talks about agentic automation. We had an episode last week or 2 weeks ago with the guys from Embraceable AI. They have also agentic approaches. Do you want to expand the idea of an agentic approach?
Oh, definitely. I think this is the future, not only in general, but also for our use case. And currently the workflow is that a user has a question and then receives an answer. But you could think, obviously, of a future where the AI is discussing question and answers in the background. And when it finds interesting insights that are worth to share, for example, opportunities to improve productivity, then you only come out to the front end and be active in terms of guiding the user. So not answering just questions, but also suggesting things. This is, for example, one agentic approach that we are bullish on.
How robust is the model, or are the answers of your model, of the Llama? How robust is it? What do you need to do to make it industrial grade?
So we are in a test phase with a limited number of users, and we receive positive feedback. What we see is where, for example, confusion comes from is when you answer the same questions, let's say, three times. You don't always get the very similar answers. So when you ask what are the steps to perform a root cause analysis, sometimes these might be 7 steps, sometimes these might be 8 steps, what the large language model is answering. And this is, for example, something that might confuse the user.
Okay. And what feedback do you get from your customers? Because when we talk about Gen AI approaches, they say, oh, it's nice, but it's so expensive. We don't want to share our data in a cloud environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is your feedback from your customer?
So maybe let's dive into one function where we get very positive feedback on.
Only the positive feedback.
Obviously.
Later we need to talk about the negatives.
I don't know. Let's keep it positive in diverse world.
Okay.
Let me dive into one specific function, and then you see where the benefit is, and then you see why people are evaluating this in a positive way. So we, for example, gather insights on prompting the operator for the cause and the solution after a production loss. So you get a pop-up on your HMI. You now restarted the machine. What was the cause? What was the solution that you were able to restart the machine? And the operator can input this information either via a keyboard or also via voice and in any language. So this is agnostic, obviously, because of the nature of the large language model. And with this data, we feed our large language model and we consolidate this input into actionable troubleshooting advice. And the next time when the machine halts for the same reason, we can instantly provide a checklist of steps to resolve the issue so effectively and reduce the mean time to repair. And so this is streamlining troubleshooting, which improves KPIs. And this is where we get positive feedback on. So positive shine on the world.
Mm-hmm. Can you sell it?
In terms of specific billing it?
Yeah.
This is what we currently don't do. So this is just inside the package of our licensing.
So it's a must-have for the future, or is it not possible to sell it?
We actually haven't tried to sell it. We think this is just a service we would like to provide as part of our product. So we don't consider this as a specific function.
But do you think when you look broader to the whole landscape of automation and factory manufacturing, is an Gen AI approach in the user interface and Gen AI approach mandatory in the future?
Ooh, mandatory.
If you want to sell something.
I think a lot of interfaces will be enhanced by Gen AI functionalities. Obviously, you see that the shop floor systems are not very responsive to innovation. So it will take a long time, I guess, until this has reached a broader audience. But I would expect that the application that has a Gen AI approach has an edge over the application. So when you decide for a new one, has an edge over the application that doesn't work in this direction.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned now the positives. I already said we want to hear something negative too. Can you share some failures when it comes to LLMs and maybe learnings from your side?
We talked about prompt engineering and fine-tuning, and we actually expected that this is easier, so call it a learning. We are using the instruct versions of these models, so Llama 70B instruct. And the AI doesn't always follow the instruction as intended or as we had hoped. So the fine-tuning of the responses is requiring significantly more effort than we have expected. So this is really a learning for us. So we were more positive on this. That is more out of the box, which it was not.
Is it also possible, or is it an aim or a goal for your company to provide a coding application in the GenAI approach? Or do you say, oh no, coding, we don't want to go in this business?
No, this is not our focus. We will focus on equipment productivity.
Okay, so no idea in going in the direction of coding, because then we get into trouble with licensing, copyright stuff, etc.
No, we think there is much room for improvement. So in terms of OEE deployments, be above and beyond dashboarding. So this is where the OEE is currently stuck. And we think there is a lot of opportunities around this to finally increase the OEE. So to increase technically the KPI and also obviously to show it, but also do the work behind it, not only displaying the percentage.
Can you share some facts and figures how good your OEE AI tool performs and the outcomes at your customers' plants?
I mean, obviously, this depends on the initial situation. When you reach a plant where nobody has so far cared about OEE, then I would say the number of 40% OEE is something what I would consider average. And to get from 40 to 50, 55 is a question of, let's say, with intense effort of 6 months. So I would consider this as a quite good return on invest here.
Absolutely. What are your next steps with OEE.ai? What is on your agenda for the next coming months?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we will continue to add new features and tools. So in terms of the generative AI, to update the tech stack constantly.
Can you share some details? What's your idea?
Yeah, I mean, for example, we talked about this question that the agent is discussing opportunities in the background and then coming up with an idea that you might want to follow. So this is one of our paths. Another one is that we also want to specify the context more. So the specific context of the company. So offering more personalized insights for the respective situation. So like operations consultant, for example, he's also tailoring the advice to every client. And we need to work in the direction that the advices that Zaru is giving are getting more specific, more and more specific over the time.
And what wishes do you have to the big large language model providers for the next coming months?
Yeah, so first of all, to supply us in the European Union with large language models at all.
Okay.
So, and the second thing is, I mean, I think this is referencing back to the effort of fine-tuning. When they would understand more, I mean, this is the magic of large language models, but if they would understand more, then our fine-tuning effort would go down, and this is obviously appreciated.
What do you mean, understand more?
The number of prompts that we need to generate to direct the large language model is currently high, let's say. And the less guidance the large language model needs, so it understands and you see
more context knowledge.
Yeah. This would obviously help us to deploy newer models faster, to innovate faster.
I'm a bit biased because now you should try out XLSDM because I think the new model is already available, 7B model. Maybe that's the opportunity for you.
Okay, let us dive into this. I will share this with our tech team.
Yeah. Jörn, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Robert, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.